إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. أما بعد، before I begin, I had a question about the Jum'ah. Jum'ah is actually a small speech, and followed after that small speech is two rak'ahs. And this compensates or is equivalent to dhuhr, which is four rak'ahs that you do on a normal day. So whoever prays with us the Jum'ah cancels out the dhuhr. They don't no longer have to pray the dhuhr. After the Jum'ah, it's sunnah, recommended to pray two or four. It's nothing unusual or hard. You're supposed to come here, enjoy yourself, and have fun. That's basically what a Jum'ah is for. And you're all welcome. May Allah reward you for your attendance, and you get ajr from the minute you stepped out of your house or you left your classroom to attend over here until you go back. So it's very simple, and inshallah we'll see more of you, and we'll see, continue to see you in the future. My topic today is about love, and it's about a unique portion of love, not the general one, because we see, and it's normal, and it's instilled in our hearts to have love to our parents, husbands to their wives, and wives to their husbands. However, it's more unique when you love someone who guided you and was the reason behind saving you from hellfire. If you were to have a firefighter or someone rescue you out of a car in an accident and he saved your life or saved you from a fire, you'd be in debt to that person to the day you die. You say, you know what, I owe this person so much. Imagine the one who saved you from a blazing hellfire so big that it took 1,000 years to turn white, 1,000 years to turn red, and another 1,000 years of Allah's years to turn charcoal black. The guy I'm saying we should love is no other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something we lost and forgot in our materialistic day today. When you mention the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your heart should melt in love to that person, because you need him every step of your way. Allah said in the Quran, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. You got a messenger from amongst yourselves. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. Aziz meaning he grieves to your hardships. He grieves any human being is going to go to hellfire. He grieves when anyone is going through a hardship, Muslim and non-Muslim. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Eager. Eager for you to follow the right path. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. To the believers, رَؤُوف. Kind. رَحِيم. Merciful. Two names of Allah's names that he gave to his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ra'uf and Rahim. Ar-Ra'uf is Allah. Ar-Rahim is Allah. He attributed those two to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who is he? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how should we love him? The man who his companions used to say, Jabir ibn Abdullah used to say, one time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was approaching me, he's handsome physically. He's beautiful physically. He said he was approaching me, and I looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I looked at the moon. You know the moon is beautiful at night. He said I kept looking at both, and wallahi the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was better looking. Anas, his servant, he said I never touched any silk. You know the silk, the natural silk, which is the softest clothing ever. The natural silk. He said I never touched any silk except that the hand of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was softer. His features. Abdullah ibn Salam, a Jew, comes to the Prophet Muhammad to quiz him and interrogate him. See what this guy's all about. Maybe he's a liar. He had a whole bunch of questions, maybe 30, 50 questions. He wants to interrogate, see if this guy's speaking the truth. He said, I walked in on the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I looked at his face, and I had no more questions. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha. You know what, Abdullah ibn Salam, he would be what we call today a rabbi. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That's the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who rescued us from the gutter of all gutters to be the leaders of the world. Huwa الَّذِي بَعَثَ. He's the one who sent among the illiterate. The illiterate are our ancestors. رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. A messenger from amongst them to bring them the Qur'an. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. Not only that, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Manners. وَإِنْ كَانُوا. Before that, they were indeed astray. They were indeed, our ancestors used to kill each other just so one guy would tie his camel on a tree before the other. Not to kill each other, a tribal war would go on. That's our ancestors before Islam. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. They would kill each other and have a war. Who's going to drink from a well first? He raised them to be leaders of the world. Don't we owe him a lot? Don't we owe him love? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only do you need his guidance in this life, but you need his guidance in the life after. You need his help every step of the way. Imagine when we go in our graves and we come and we're resurrected to stand before Allah. You know the first one you find in your face? The first one when Allah says in the Quran, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. When the earth shakes and it lets out its weight, that weight is our bodies under the ground. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانِ. The human being says, what the heck is going on? وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. A white piece of land. There's no north and south in it. There's no east and west in it. There's no Oakland University and there's no Dearborn. It's all one piece of land. You run from one area to another, it's one piece of land. What the heck is going on? You find in front of you the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I'm the first one that this earth lets out. We stand on a day before Allah. That day is in the Quran as 50,000 years. There's no dinner. There's no water. There's nothing to go on. The torment of that day, the torment of you waiting for what the outcome is more than the outcome itself. What's going to happen? You guys go, and we all go to Adam. Adam, get Allah to ask us and put us, even in hell or in heaven, as long as Allah starts to ask us. That's what we call the big shafa'ah, the big intercession. Adam says, I ate from the tree. I can't. Myself, myself. Nafsi, nafsi. They go to Nuh. Nuh says, I make dua on my people. I wasn't patient enough with them, so I made dua, prayer on them, against them. Myself, myself. Go to Ibrahim. Ibrahim again says, I lied 3 lies in my life. Myself, myself. Go to Musa. They go to Musa. Musa says, I killed someone in my life. Myself, myself. They go to Isa. Isa says, myself, myself, without mentioning a mistake. And he says, go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Look at that chain all the way till you get to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Is Allah playing games with us? Why do we have to go through that whole chain to get to the Prophet? To show you how honorable your messenger is. To show you that he's the one who's going to help you in the life after. No one else, by the will of Allah only, that he's the one going to help you. And who's the one who directs to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? No other than Isa. A hint that if you follow me, you follow Jesus, go and believe in that man. A hint to believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They say, ask Allah to start judging us. The big intercession. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, ana laha, ana laha. That's for me and that's for me. He goes under Allah's throne and begins to pray to Allah. He says in eloquent words, he said, I pray and thank Allah in eloquent terms that were never ever used towards Allah before. And he's bowing under the throne of Allah. That's when Allah tells him, irfa'a ra'sak, raise your head. Washfa to shafa,
Give anyone intercession, it'll be given. وَسَلْ تُعْطَى. Ask anything, it'll be given. And that's when Allah begins to judge people. You need the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over there. When the people pass by in front of him, he sees a messenger with one follower. A messenger with two, three. Then he sees a big crowd. He gets happy. He says, oh, that's my people. All he's worried about is his people. So that's my people. A lot of them are going to heaven. He gets happy. Then they tell him, no, those are the people of Musa, the Jews who really believed in Musa. Then comes after him a bigger crowd, which is the biggest of all crowds. They tell him, those are your followers over there. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is about. Every step of your way on the judgment day. I say in this life is guidance, and in the life after, every step of the way over there. In order for you to go to heaven, you have to have a bridge. There's a bridge sharper than the edge of a sword, and thinner than a hair. It's on top of hell for you. You gotta cross it to get to heaven. You cross it, you're in good shape. You know where the Prophet is? Standing right before the entrance of the bridge, making sure his people go through okay. You know where he is? On the, by the balance. There's a balance where Allah's gonna weigh your deeds and your sins. You find the Prophet ﷺ there. You know what he's like? I compare it to the mother of a bride on her wedding day. You know, the mother of a bride, she's running left to right and all over, going everywhere. If there's anyone who has a problem, she's trying to make them happy. She's trying to cover up for the fault because she wants it a perfect night. That's your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to you on the judgment day. You go. It's a long day, 50,000 years. You need a sip of water. You go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's water, al-Kawthar. The grant that Allah gave him. Since Allah never gave him any male children that live, Allah told him, we're going to give you something better. And they used to mock him. He had never had any male children that grew and lived on after more than a year. So Allah says, we're going to give you the Kawthar. You run to that Kawthar, whose water is whiter than yogurt, and it tastes better than honey. Its glasses are more than the stars in the sky. You run there, you want to take a sip of water. But he stops you. Because he wants to give you water with his own hand. Whoever drinks a sip, sisters and brothers, Muslims, whoever drinks a sip out of that holy hand that day, that's the end of thirst ever. Not only is it the end of thirst, it's assurance on that day that Allah calls it the day of terror. The biggest day of terror. It's assurance that everything is going to be okay. Is he done there? He makes sure his followers go to heaven? He's not done there. He goes on. You need him even, you know what? Even if you cross the bridge, that's the front yard of heaven. That's like the front yard of heaven. You still didn't go in heaven. The gates of heaven are closed. You sit there, you meet the old messengers and the old companions and your friends and your relatives. That's when they sit and enjoy. But the gates of heaven are closed. Who do you need? The Prophet Muhammad. Where is he? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Come on and open the door. We want to go inside. And he walks up, knocks on the door. The angel on the other side says, who is it? Says, Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, for you I was ordered to open this door. He begins to shake the doorknob. A big, huge, round doorknob. Begins to shake it. And he enters heaven. That's when you also go into heaven. That's when he directs you, depending on your reward, to your palace in heaven. Shows you, here's your palace. Imagine that. The Prophet himself takes you and guides you on a tour and tells you, here's your palace. Here's your family. Enjoy them. Be comforted with them. That's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then he goes back. Because from this ummah, we got sinners who have sins and will be going to hell for you temporarily for their sins. Some few who Allah doesn't forgive. He goes back under Allah's throne, bows down to Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, and cries to Allah. And Allah says, go, take out some. But he gives them a limit. And he takes out some. That's not enough. How can my followers stay in hell? He goes down to Allah's throne and makes and cries for Allah and pleads with Allah. Allah allows him a second group and a third group until Allah goes on to tell him, okay, take out from hellfire anyone who says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, with a tiny atom of Iman, faith in his heart. He doesn't want a single Muslim left in hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu in authentic hadith, who are the proudest people who get your intercession? The main intercession is when Allah starts questioning you because the Prophet asked him. The small intercession is when he rescues true believers from hellfire, who are doomed to hellfire for sins or mistakes they may have committed in this life. So Abu Huraira says, who's the proudest people who brag, I got the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's intercession? Do you know who it is? It's something we could all do. If it's something beyond our ability, be something else. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whomever says la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah fully and faithfully from his heart. Anyone can do that? We could all do that right now. Say it. Be happy and congratulate yourself, inshallah, on the judgment day. You're going to get the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La ilaha illallah. There's no deity, there's no God worthy of worshiping other than Allah. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger. We believe in what he says. We follow his ordains. We stay from that which he refrains from. We be loyal in it. We adhere to it. We renounce into it. La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Let it come out of your heart. And wallahi al-azim, you're going to get the intercession of that man who loves you so much. The man who doesn't want to see a hardship fall on his believers in this life or in the life after. Imagine that he goes in heaven and we're going to visit each other in heaven, and he comes down and introduces you maybe to his daughter. Well, our problem is we put our life and focus and thoughts in this life and we forgot about the life after. Imagine him introducing you to Hamza. My uncle, here my uncle, this guy came and this guy did this and this and this in the 20th century. You think that's not possible? Or he goes and takes sisters to his daughter, Fatima, or his wives. One of his wives, and introduces, you know this woman? She did this and this for da'wah. Why don't you do something to stand out so he introduced you to his close-knit settings in heaven? People in heaven visit each other, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran told us. The merciful man, بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. That's why the companions loved him so much. That's why they looked up to him so much. That's why he was so merciful with him. Imagine Yazid ibn Thakhan. Yazid ibn Thakhan knew about assassination attempt on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he took his close-knit friends and he went to defend the Prophet. He was the last one fighting as though he didn't want to die. But then he fell towards the end of the battle. And when he fell, the Prophet seen his face hit the floor. He says, no, not Yazid. His face doesn't belong on the floor. He took his face and he put it on his lap and began to wipe the dirt off of it. And he says, Allah is my witness. He fulfilled his obligation. He was merciful to them. He goes to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anh. Mu'adh ibn Jabal is on a journey. You know, Mu'adh, he was about in his early 30s. He left on a trip and came back. What do you imagine? The holiest man to walk on the face of this earth goes out to the outskirts and greets him. Mu'adh, I missed you. Where you been? How was Yemen? What happened in Yemen? And they chat and go back all the way to Medina. Umar says, oh Prophet, I need to make Umrah. He's in Medina, I want to go to make Umrah. He walks him up to the outskirts of Medina and he grabs him and hugs him and says, don't forget us from your dua. My dear little brother, Umar. La tansana min du'aika ya ukhay. My dear little brother, he needs the dua of Umar. The Prophet whose sins were forgiven from before and after, he needs the dua. Bil mu'minina ra'ufun rahim. He loved them. That's why they treated him the same. Abu Bakr in his journey treated them. They treat because they seen mercy. Allah in the Quran says, if you spend the globe worth of wealth, you'd never unite among their hearts like they are united. لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ Allah did it with this mercy. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ We sent you as a mercy to mankind. Not to mankind, actually, to the universe. العالمين. Meaning to Muslim and non-Muslim. To plants and animals, to everything. لِلْعَالَمِينَ. You're a mercy to the universe. So on the journey from Mecca to Medina, they're worried, they're running away, they got 100,000 camels on their heads. You kill any of them dead or alive, you get 100,000 camels. They're worried, 3 days in a cave. As you know, the desert, all you need is water. They get to an old lady that has a sheep, and that sheep is very ill. So the Prophet ﷺ, by the barakah of Allah that he put in him, they milk the sheep, put it in a bowl, and he tells Abu Bakr, drink. Abu Bakr says, no, you drink. So look at the hadith and pay close attention to the hadith. Abu Bakr said he drank and drank and drank until I got full. Imagine. He drank, he drank, he drank. He didn't get full. I got full. The heartbeat of the Prophet ﷺ was beating in Abu Bakr. The blood in his veins was as though it's Abu Bakr's vein. He said, that's it. He satisfied his thirst. It's better than if I satisfied it. That was enough for him. That's how they were. Bilal radiallahu anhu was looked down as the lowest man of his time because he was a slave. The Prophet ﷺ took him as his buddy. In fact, he's considered the shadow of the Prophet ﷺ. In fact, when the Prophet ﷺ would sleep, Bilal would call the adhan, and between the adhan and the iqamah, the Prophet would rest a little bit. Put his head on the laps of Abu Bakr, on Bilal radiallahu anhu. A man people would spit on. A man people tortured. He made him a hero, that he loved him so much. The day the Prophet ﷺ died, Bilal packed his stuff and left all the way to Damascus. How could I, he said, how could I walk in the streets of Medina without my buddy next to me? He's gone. How am I going to walk in the streets of Medina? And that's how the rest of the Sahaba were. Thawban. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam misses him in prayer. Thawban is skipping prayer. What's wrong? Thawban is sick. What's wrong, Thawban? They go to his house. The Prophet in a group go to his house. Thawban, what's wrong? He says, O Prophet of Allah, I was thinking, if I go to heaven, you're going to be way up in the high ranks of heaven. And I'm going to be in the first, second level. That's if I go to heaven. And if I go to hell, you're going to be in heaven. Either way, I'm not going to see you. So I fell ill. Physically ill. They loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet smiles at him and looks and says, glory and good tidings to you, Thawban. Abshir. فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَ يُحْشَرُ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبْ. You will be stuck in the life after with the one you love. You see how important it is to love our beloved messenger? If you love him, that's a paved path for you to enter heaven. أَبْشِرْ فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَ يُحْشَرُ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبْ. Uthayyah radiallahu anhu, Sawad ibn Uthayyah, in the battle of Uhud, when the Muslims were being attacked, the Prophet lined them. Sawad was out of line. So the Prophet poked him to go back in line. Sawad ibn Uthayyah says, O Prophet of Allah, you come with justice. You poked me, you hurt me. I want my revenge. So the Prophet, moments before the battle, lifts up his garment and says, go ahead, Sawad. Take your revenge. Sawad throws himself on the Prophet ﷺ. He says, Prophet of Allah, I love you so much that I wanted, before I die, and it's almost imminent that we're going to die in this battle, the last thing to touch me is your body. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's your messenger. That's the one you love. And that's the one who's going to be, inshallah, by the will of Allah, your path out from hell and into heaven. Or inshallah, before that even happens, your path to heaven. أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد. He lived 63 years of his life. Towards the end of his life, the da'wah life, it took its toll upon him because he was so worried. He wanted everyone on the guided path. He gets about 17 white hairs towards the last days of his life. And Abu Bakr says, Oh, Prophet of Allah, I see you got white hairs. He said, yes. Surah Hud in the Quran made me get these gray hairs. You know what surah? Actually, do you know what verse? فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ. Worried. Stay on the right path. You and those who followed you. He wanted us to remain on that guided path. The only thing that gave him gray hair. Imagine that. He prayed when he was sitting. He decided to go at the end. Towards the end of his life, he prayed the sunnah while he was sitting. He decided at the age of 63 to go to Hajj. The first and last Hajj he ever made. And he goes. Allah reveals in Al-Hajj, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي. A Jew came to Umar, he says, I know a verse in your Quran. If that was revealed to us, we would have a celebration the day it was revealed. Today I've compiled your religion. وأتممت عليكم نعمتي. I fulfilled my grant upon you. And I only accept Islam as your religion. You know what it means? Congratulations, you guys graduated. Islam graduated. You know how you graduate after 4 years or your master's or PhD? You have your ceremony? That was the ceremony that was. All the Sahaba were happy. Except Abu Huraira. Except Abu Bakr. He knew that when something, asked him, why aren't you happy? He said, when something goes up and reaches its peak, it's got to start coming down. That's when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew it was a hint to him that he was going to die. They go back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They take him to Medina. And that's when Allah reveals in the Quran, the last verse ever in the Quran, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Fear the day that you're going to return back to Allah. And everyone will be judged according to what he did. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. He falls ill. But take his concern over us in his last days. Not the whole story of his death, but take his concern over us in the last days. He falls ill about 2 weeks before he died in Maimuna's house. And he tells them, could I stay my last days in Aisha's house? They say, yes, go ahead. On his way, they carry him, one companion from the right and one from the left, all the way from Maimuna to Aisha's house. And when the Sahaba see that, all he can hear from the outside near the masjid is screaming and crying, concerned over the first time they see him being walking in between two other men. They couldn't accept that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam waits a little bit, gathers his strength, and gets up and gives his speech. He smiles to them. He says, كَأَنَّكُمْ تَخَافُونَ عَلَيْهِ. You guys are afraid for me? And they shout with a chant, of course, na'am, of course, O Prophet of Allah. He says, this is not our life. It's as though, wallahi, I see us all gathered by the pond in the life after. That's our life. That's where we're going. Getting him to accept and easing off that he's going to go away. He says, wallahi, it's as though I see us sitting around in the ponds. That's how you're going to be, inshallah. We're going to sit in the ponds around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. That's our life. You know what he goes on to say? This is the last time he ever gave a speech. Take care of your woman. Imagine that. Imagine that. He gave the woman their rights before Europe and the West knew what the rights of women were. Wallahi, just if you read the history, in European countries, women were treated as pieces of property. They used to negotiate, are they a piece of property or a human being? 14 centuries ago, the first thing that comes to his mind in his last advice, woman, and guard your prayer. And even before that, in his last sermon, the big sermon where 10,000 people attended, woman in prayer. And you know one of the very last things he says on his deathbed? Woman in your prayer. Because they're in a weak position. He's worried about them. Don't you think this man who looked out for our woman, the woman, don't you think he deserves your love? Don't you think your heart should melt to his name when he's mentioned? He gives them advice about the woman in the prayer. And then he says, oh, you people, maybe I've talked about someone wrongfully. Here's my honor. Go ahead and attack it before I meet Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh, you people, maybe I took some of your wealth wrongfully. Here's my wealth. Take from it as much as you want. Oh, you people, Maybe I've hurt someone physically. Here's my body. Take your revenge before I meet Allah. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were amazed, in a shock. Then he says his statement. There's a messenger of Allah that was given the choice between living a long life and dying, or dying right away. The Sahaba are paying attention. Abu Bakr screams and cries. And everyone focuses on Abu Bakr. What's this old man doing? What's this crazy old man doing? The Prophet's telling us a story, and this guy is crying. He's disrupting. They focus on Abu Bakr, and the Prophet says, leave Abu Bakr alone. Everyone who gave into Islam, we gave him more. We gave him back. We gave him, when the Muslim world became big, we gave him back more than he ever gave us. Except that man. Except that man who gave us from his family and from his honor and from his wealth, that which he gave us, we were never able to compensate him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the reason Abu Bakr was crying, he knew that guy he was talking about is not a story. It's he himself, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes down the speech ladder telling people, may Allah protect you, may Allah guard you, may Allah be with you, may Allah give you victory, and walks down. Even in his last day, his life was full of love. You know his last moments? He asked everyone to leave the room. Him and Aisha alone, he puts his head on the back, on the chest of Aisha, love and romantic even in his last moments. Something Aisha never forgot. He puts his head on her chest and he raises his hand because Jibreel came and told him the angel of death comes to her. Do you want a lot of men? Because he had the choice. And he raises his hand, بَلِ الرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى بَلِ الرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى The one who's up there, I choose him. Aisha said, I knew he was choosing the one up there over me. Romantic, he dies in his wife's chest. On his wife's chest. His hand falls down and she goes and tells people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she screams it because she was a young teenager. She screams it. She didn't know death. She, the first time she sees death. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, one takes the sword and says, you liars, he never died. The other one is in chaos. The other one doesn't know where he's at, like Uthman. And it was a big situation over there. The point of it, look at the life of this man and how he sacrificed it for you. You know how he spent his 23 years? He got his message at the age of 40. He died at the age of 63. His message years were 23 years. You know how much he slept in them? Every time he go to rest, Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil, get up, Muzzammil, one of his attributes. Every time he goes to sleep, Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil, get up, Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil. Khadija radiallahu anha tells him, Prophet of Allah, get some sleep. He says, Khadija, the time of sleep has gone away. No more time for sleep. I'm on a mission. He's a mission to rescue your ancestors who you became Muslims for. Isn't that enough for us to praise him every single day? Praise him at least, I say, leave out of this khutbah. Praising the Prophet ﷺ every day at least 3 times. Just to start off and take it on more. Peace and blessing be upon him in English. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. You know what he went through? You know what he went through? For you and me. He goes 3 years in secrecy in da'wah. Then Allah tells him in the Quran, فَاصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ Declare that message to the universe. He goes on a mountain in Mecca, the biggest mountain, that inshallah when you go to Hajj, you're going to go over there and see it, and stand on it, part of the Hajj. He goes on there, he says, oh you people, all the tribes, if I tell you behind this mountain is a caravan coming to attack you, what would you guys do? They said, well, you're not a liar. We never tried any lies upon you before. He says, well, I am a warner to you from Allah. Abu Lahab says, tfuh, tfuh on you. Is this why you gathered us here? Your prophet gets spit on for you. Not only that, he gets the guts of a camel put on his back for you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets bullied by Mecca around the Kaaba. You know how they bully him? You know how high schoolers bully what they call the nerds today? They put them in a circle and they toss them from left to right and right to left. That's what happened to your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The leaders of Quraysh gathered them and pushed them and tossed them around like a toy. Until Abu Bakr comes and breaks his way through the crowd. And he says, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ You heard a man just because he says Allah is my Lord. He ends up getting the beating and the Prophet walks away. He went through that for you. Uqba ibn Abi Ma'yat comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know what he does? Wallah, imagine if this happened to me, I'd leave Islam because my faith is weak. They take the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know his upper garment? He takes it and he strangles him with his neck until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam falls to him. He says, I fell to my knees. Imagine that. Helpless. What did he do? What was his fault? Was it a personal issue? It was Islam that he was trying to convey to you. They called him every name in the book. Name me a name. Name me an accusation. They accused him. Black magic. Liar. Poet. Someone who goes out and learns the Quran from people who know real Arabic and comes and says it's the word of Allah. They called him, his name is Muhammad. They called him Muthammam. That's like my name is Ahmed. They call me Ahmed, making fun of you. Muthammam. The Sahaba get mad. Oh Prophet, we can't let him do this. And the Prophet says, they're calling Muthammam. That's someone else. My name is Muhammad. He went all through that. You know what happened to him? He went on where his tooth was chipped. His forehead was cut. He had metal braces that went into his cheek in the battle of Uhud, where Abu Ubaidah got it out with his own teeth. That's why Abu Ubaidah lived his life without teeth, because as he was taking these metal rods out of his cheek, they broke his teeth. He went through all that to bring you Islam that we have today as a piece of cake in front of you. Isn't that enough to love him and follow the commands of his religion? Well, we have in the heat, we have our central air condition. When the weather's hot, when it's cold, we got the air condition on. All you gotta do is get up and pray. And we don't do that. Imagine you got spit on. Imagine you got strangled. Imagine you got the guts of a camel put on you. He did all that to you, to bring you Islam as a piece of cake. Yet we turn our backs on this religion and on this great man. From now on, every time you get lazy in a command of Islam, you better look again to the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every time you hear after today the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, let your heart melt to this man who devoted his life for you. You love your parents, why? Because they did so much for you. Your mom, the problem she went through pregnancy to give birth to you, something you can never repay her. Your dad goes out and works, and if it comes down to it where you need his heart, he'll give you his heart. That's why you love him. The Prophet did more than that to you. He did more than that to you. Shouldn't your heart melt to him? Shouldn't you owe him a duty of loyalty to him and his commands? ثم صلوا على خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين فقد أمركم الله بالصلاة والسلام عليه فقال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه بعشرة اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء الأئمة الحنفاء أبي بكر الصديق وعمر الفاروق وذي النورين عثمان وأبي الصبطين علي وعن آل بيت نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وعن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعنا معهم بمنك وعفوك وإحسانك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين اللهم احفظ إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيها أهل طاعتك ويذل فيها أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعاء.